The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League.
I guess it's painfully obvious how we're starting this.
I think that if we could have edited that song, we wouldn't have had She in there, and it would have been the NRL don't like cocaine.
Well, the players do, but yeah. Certain
players absolutely 100% like cocaine.
I guarantee it's probably 75% of them. Hello, everyone. Welcome to
Mad Monday. Just gone absolutely a little bit too crazy, a little bit too mad.
Yeah, just a little. To week three of the finals. Yeah, we'll go through some news, obviously, from what we just started with. That kind of news later. And we'll talk about our end of year NRL team of the year as well, among a couple other things.
And I guess the worst kept secret that was going around as well, and the Dally M medal winner.
We'll get straight into the games. The first game was a Friday grand final qualifier. Well, they both were, but the Rabbitohs prevailing over the Manly Seagulls 36-16.
Supposedly, Des Hasler, as a player and a coach, had never lost in a grand final qualifier. He was like 8-0 as a player and as a coach.
Really?
Now, that record has been spoiled.
If you've seen that somewhere like on Sportsbet or something, you just take Manly on the back of that.
No, I actually tipped the Rabbitohs. Surprisingly, I thought I'd tip Manly at the start of the week, and then had a look at ESPN footy tips and realised that that I'd tipped Souths and Melbourne this week. So clearly got the Melbourne one wrong, but I took Souths in this.
I know they had the week off, but you could just feel. Coming into it, they felt like they had the better momentum purely because how Manly sort of, I guess, got in there.
Well, they look fresh. Both teams look fairly fresh. You know, I don't think that the Roosters challenged Manly too much last week. So, but they still had to go through 80 minutes of football while South Sydney are sitting at home having pumpkin spice lattes. So. That's the difference. I think that, South looked a little bit fresher. Look, it got off to a little bit of a controversial sort of start, I guess, with Sean Kepi, in the opening, 5-6 minutes stumbling around the field while South are on the attack and he's flopping all over the place and the referee is going, yeah, play on. And it's like, pretty sure the game should be stopped right now. Like, there was at least three tackles, if not four tackles, of him in the line of defense, and he was in Disneyland.
I felt like this happened a little bit in this game. I don't know if it was because of, well, I don't know. I thought they were trying to prove a point of what happened, obviously, in the game the weekend before where they stopped the game when they shouldn't have. I don't know if they were proving a point, but I felt like this happened a few times in this game where you know.
Again, it also happened in the Melbourne game as well.
It did. So, and he clearly, he ended up getting HIA no return anyway. He clearly was out of it.
Oh, he was done. He
was done. He was absolutely done. He would not even remember this day. But, you're right. It should have been stopped and... I don't know. I'm just trying to work out why. The only thing that went to my mind was that it ended up being that they were what happened last week, and then they had we're not stopping it this week, kind of thing, and being blamed, kind of thing, which is dumb.
It was Ashley Klein again. So I don't know. Look, I like Ashley Klein as a referee. I think he's probably. I think he's a better referee than what Butler is. So I think he's going to be the one that's going to be refereeing the grand final. Next week. I'm pretty sure they've named that it's going to be Jared Butler.
I was going to say that sometimes they do name it early. So, okay, yeah, yeah. cool.
I'm pretty sure they've already named that, but I think Klein's a better referee, but yeah, the last couple of weeks have not been terrific for him. What did you think of the not so much of the tactic, but Reynolds basically not kicking for 50-odd minutes of that game? Like, everything to do with the kicking game was going through Cody Walker.
I thought it was a tactic. I thought they possibly thought, unless he was, and we couldn't sort of tell from the TV, but unless they had him covered, I thought it was a tactic that, you know, instead of them looking for Reynolds to go for Cody Walker to kick it, I'm talking about Manly looking for Reynolds. So it ended up being, well, Cody Walker with the ball in his hand is just, to me, a lot better. He is one of those now six players that plays with a number six on his back where you don't know what he is going to do. He has that now, which is good. You know, like your Lockyer. Like, Lockyer is the perfect example of all the number sixes that I've ever watched. Every time I remember seeing Lockyer with the ball in his hands at number six, you honestly had no idea what he was going to do. He is the perfect example of that, Lockyer. And I'm not a big Queensland fan. I just thought I've always thought that of Lockyer. That's him. But that's just what Cody Walker looked like up until, I mean, he got that sort of first try in the first 12 minutes because he took the line and ran the ball. But there's so many errors in that first 10 minutes too.
Yeah, it was a little sloppy. I just thought that the Reynolds thing, you know, if he's nursing some sort of lower leg or groin injury or anything of that, because he wasn't doing the place kicking as well, like the goal kicking as well. So whether or not that sort of carries on into next week as the grand final approaches. Yeah. I also liked how much pressure South were putting on Cherry Evans' kicks as well. Like, he was really taken out. Not so much taken out of that game, but, man, that they were up off the line real quick and getting a boatload of pressure on DCE every time he kicked the ball.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's kind of good, because although he can tend to, he should have probably read that a lot better than this. I'm talking about Cherry Evans here, like, that if they're rushing up and then putting pressure on him, he's the kind of guy that probably could, I guess, run around that, or like at least fake it. Sort of run. You know, he has that in him, but he didn't sort of read that enough, I thought, in this game. I mean, he did it in the game last weekend.
That's right, and that's with them on the front foot as well. And
wow, well, that's the other thing.
They were lacking a lot of momentum going forward as well. Like you said, their completion rate was just totally in the toilet. They were dominated possession wise. They couldn't get out of their own half. When they got into South's 20-meter zone, the first time they got in there, it took them like 16 or 17 minutes. It lasted one tackle, and there was an error. They were just put under immense pressure. Like you said, I think Manly had six errors, I think, in the first 15 minutes, and that's just shooting yourself in the foot and giving South so much quality possession inside their attacking half. And it ended up telling by the end of that first half.
Yeah, well, I mean, they ran in at halftime 22-0 up. So
yeah, that's I mean, it was, and it was just, it's, it just, they just kept that every time that Manly were on the defense, especially defending their own half, they were just opened up like a can of sardines. Just about every single time Souths were making an attacking raid, it was unreal.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, I thought, oh, I don't know what you thought, but at halftime at 22-0 in a grand final qualifier, I think as much as you always like to see a comeback, I think that's just too much to come back.
You're just about done. 22-0 down. Manly had just over 40% possession. They were 9 of 16 completion rate in the first half. They just looked totally and utterly outclassed and out of the contest. Yeah. Like right there. That's, I mean, in a pressure cooker of, you know, a preliminary final of a grand final qualifier, that's a tough hill to climb to come back from 22 zip.
Yeah, and then, I mean, in the second half, I suppose, even if you was at 22, 24, they were still beaten handily, I guess, even in the second half in terms of points in the second half. I get no six. No, sorry. My bad. That was, I'm counting wrong. Is that 22, 22, 14, 16? Sorry. I'm sort of looking at what the second half sort of score was. And that was only
look, Manly started the second half well. Like they got they got the try that they needed to just to sort of get themselves a little bit of confidence and get that back to 22-6 with Ruben Garrick. So you know there was a little bit more of their sort of you know attacking flair, but getting back into the arm wrestle of a game and just going back and forth, it was not the way that they were going to win this game. Like they had to gain the ascendancy. They had to get momentum in this game, and it just didn't happen. Yeah, the scoreline really was flattering. Like they had a couple of cheap tries at the end of the game. They were just blasted off the park.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were. They were absolutely blasted off the park. And that's all that was. It was just that Souths were probably a little bit gassed, and the Tom Dvojevic and Ruben Garrick's second try was just sort of consolation, obviously, at the end. So
that's right. So the thing was too is, the two names that sort of come to mind is obviously Trbojevic. Like he was good, but you know you didn't need him to be good. You needed him to be great. You know, especially when you're down 22 in the hole. One other player's name that I really rarely heard throughout the broadcast was Jason Saab.
Yeah, I agree. Considering how, I mean, it wasn't like out of this world good last week, but he always sort of threat. I guess he could always sort of threaten the line or at least sort of, you know, in that broken sort of field play, but didn't do anything. I thought how many runs did he end up getting? 10 runs for 78 meters. So it's absolutely nothing.
And that's just not enough. Like you need to get a lot more production out of something. He just needs to, I get it. He's a winger, but he needs to get the ball.
Ruben Garrick got 17 runs for 222 meters. So
he goes looking for the ball though. He goes looking for those hard runs.
Ruben Garrick. Yeah. He's had a bumper season this year. Actually, he really had a bumper season this year considering where,
carried on momentum from last year. Like he was an absolutely, you know, out of nowhere, you know, sort of first grader last year. And this year he's just carried it on. He's just gotten better.
Yeah, but he was a bit in purgatory last year too, I thought. You know, coming in this year, I didn't think much of him up until obviously this year. Like, yeah, he was.
Yeah, he's really gone, good he's gone year. From strength to strength.
Literally.
This year, you know, goal kicking, riding off the momentum of Trbojevic and DCE and guy, you know, guys like that. And when you're in a good footy team, then you can look good like that. But I thought he was outstanding this whole year. I thought the Jackson Paulo second try that was a bit of a moonwalk into the end goal. Was kind of funny and very close to being my stud of the week as he caught the ball backwards and then was continuing to run backwards and he's like, oh, don't fall over. Oh, look, there's the try line. This just there. I'll just keep running backwards and then fall over the try line.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
All he needed to do was hear was a reverse beeper and he would have been sweet. But that was the damnedest try I've ever seen. I've just never seen anything like that where you catch the ball running backwards, but then you turn yourself around and run forwards. But to continue to run backwards for about 8 or 9 meters and then crash over the try line was just bizarre to see.
He moonwalked literally. Where I read a headline, moonwalked all the way into a grand final. So
yeah, that's right, exactly.
Was pretty good. So that'll still be also because it seems to be glaringly obvious with camera wise as well. This will be Benji's most likely last game, last grand final. Because it seems a lot of stuff seems
possibly.
Possibly, yeah. But I guess we'll sort of. I'll be surprised if he plays next year, but who knows?
Yeah, you never know if it's. I mean, he's coming off the interchange, so I guess his body's feeling good, so he might be able to, you know, squeeze a little bit more life out of him. Which is, if that's what he wants to continue to do, then good on him. I guess the game sort of ended a little bit of a sour note with that that Josh Aloia lifting tackle that didn't look good. That's a bit of a yuck attempt at a tackle and sort of lifting and then driving down. And then I can't think of who the player was, sort of landed. Like,
I think it was
they
Nichols.
Didn't land on their neck
Mark,
or anything
Mark Nichols,
like that, but
I'm
it landed
sure.
right on, yeah, right on yeah. the top of their shoulders. And it's like, yeah. oh, boy, that didn't look good. So
yeah.
I think he's in a little bit of trouble with that. I think he's up for 3 weeks, I
yeah.
think,
yeah.
going to the judiciary. So, yeah, he's in a little bit of trouble with that because that's look, you know, we take the lifting tackle out of the game. That's terrific, but that's just – one of those instances where it's a pickup and then a drive, and that's what can happen. The driving down motion can go wrong.
And Alex Johnson getting his obligatory 2 tries in this as well. So.
Oh, well, yeah, that was always on the cards, wasn't it?
Oh, my God, he knows how to find a try line.
Consistent with gravity, that.
So, South's the first team into the grand final. The second game was, I mean, for me, by far the worst Storm game I've ever seen. Losing to the Penrith Panthers 10-6.
They were diabolical.
Literally,
and I think that's putting it rather lightly. I've never seen a Melbourne Storm outfit drop the ball. Not so, and not even under pressure. That much in I don't know how long I honestly don't know. That was just an unbelievably poor performance in such a big spot for the Storm, who have been in these, you know, in these big games for it seems like a decade.
And really, I mean, they could, I mean, yeah, okay, you didn't have your big game player in Cameron Smith there.
But look at what they've done. But look at what they've done
exactly.
all year. Like,
and look what they've done in the first final. So I'm not trying to make excuses at all. It was absolutely ridiculous, to be honest. So, but I mean, look, Penrith started white hot with that Stephen Crichton.
That kick, good God! Like just out of dummy half, and he could see that Melbourne was so compressed. Penrith were nice and spread, and Cleary just jumps out of dummy half straight away and just throws like a long dart kick out, and it's just pinpoint accurate to Stephen Crichton. That's one of the most unbelievable kick tries I've seen as well.
They admitted they stole that off a Roosters game. The Roosters did that this year some sort of time. They admitted that in post conference that it was that they watched a Roosters video and they did that. They had this sort of setup. So.
Because that's right. If you can see that if you can see the opposition is compressed, and you see Addo Carr was just nowhere
right.
near. He was 15 meters in field, so they were struggling to get out there, and it
that's
just that was just
great
the and look and I guess to sort of cap things off with that as well, you know, that happened so early in the game, The Panthers started, you know, Penguy Jr. out there to start with, just to sort of go out there and just like rattle some teeth. Wasn't really going to go out there and make a lot of hit ups or anything like that. He was just going out there to sort of, you know, put some people on their ass. And did he have an absolute bee in his bonnet to start with? Like he's pushing players out, his own players out of the way, to give Christian Welch an absolute gobful after 2 minutes. Good God. Like, do you want to cost your team a game? Like, just tone
yeah,
it
I,
down,
I
man.
Don't know. I felt like he got – it just felt like the way he started, it felt like he was instructed to do –
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely
like,
he was.
We're going to put you on for 20 minutes, but just do exactly whatever you want and go like hell. And I mean, he disrupted Christian Welch at that match, but there was a massive hit on Christian Welch and he was gone too in that first seven or eight.
That's right. And isn't that the perfect plan? And you're not going to get suspended for it or anything of that. It's a legal hit. Christian Welch is done for the game. So you've taken out, you know, one of their front row enforcers. So, you know, he's gone out there and perfectly executed his job, right?
Oh, he has. I think that, and literally, I think that was his job, just to get sort of someone. I don't think they said this tends to go to knock someone out, but to disrupt the team.
He's absolutely gone out there to knock someone out. He's a fool. I cannot stand him. And if only he was going to continue to play for Penrith, it would just make me dislike that team even more, because there's more and more players on that team that I genuinely dislike. He is one of them. Jerome Luai is another one. I don't care what anybody else says. The happy-go-lucky, everything of that, coattail ride. And
it's the way he plays. That's what you don't like about him.
But the way he plays, the way all the BS around him during the Origin period. Oh, I want to collect not in these so many words, but to say that I want to collect that Origin paycheck. He wants to play for the Blues, but then just absolutely dismisses, no, I don't want to play for Australia. So it's like, you know what? Guess what? Bye then. Sorry, no Blues jersey for you. Go back to playing for the Cook Islands or you know, one of them other little minnow nations or whoever you want to try and represent for. See you later.
Which is fine, but don't then play for New South Wales. That's the difference.
Exactly. That's exactly. Right. Yeah.
No, that's exactly right.
Bye-bye.
And it was a bit after sort of that sort of the quick two-minute try, it was back and forth football, it was errors from both teams. I mean, the Storm had more errors, but it was
Remus Smith and Robert Jennings just had a case of the drops both times with the line not wide open, a try begging to be scored.
Yeah.
Begging to be scored.
Oh, there was daylight in front of them, both of them, to sort of
the
score.
The Robert Jennings just... one, what there was. I thought that the Remus Smith one, he still would have had a little bit of work to do to get over the line.
Possibly.
But the Robert Jennings one, that was the first big mistake that they made inside Penrith 20 on the attack. That line was wide open, and how long did it take? When was the last time you seen the Melbourne Storm take 62 minutes to get on the scoreboard?
Right, exactly, and. It's not like we can't play from behind. We can definitely play. We can play from behind, or we're definitely suited to play in front. But you know, to take 62 minutes to score was absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, it's unheard of. I don't really sort of want to gloss over as well before Brandon Smith was taken off that he had. It took us until the second last week of the season to get ourselves a 20-40. None of the commentators knew what had happened.
I felt like it must have sort of got told late. Dylan Edwards
I think they did. Dylan Edwards just let the ball go, and it's just like, surely that's not a 20-40. And I was watching the replay of it, and I'm like, surely that's not a 20-40. They didn't roll it back. And then the commentators all of a sudden said, yeah, that's the first 20-40 of the year. It's like, damn, I didn't think he was behind the 20, because they were just getting the hurt put on him.
Do you like it?
It's taken us this whole time. Nobody even goes for it. I don't know if Brandon Smith was trying to go for it. Yeah. So it's a waste of a rule.
I'm not a big fan of it. I like the 40-20 because, you know,
40-20 is awesome.
Because then once you're in that 20 meter line, there's a lot. With 20-40, you're just playing the field advantage. That's all you're doing, really. So
and it's more of a luck element to it. Whereas a 40-20, you can have genuine momentum, and that's what it's meant to do is continue on your momentum. A 20-40 generally means you're either being pummeled in your inside your own 20 meter zone, or you know you're super taking a chance, you know, say on second or third tackle to try and go for something like that. I think it's an arsey kind of play, and I can't see it lasting. Like if they leave the rule in place, it will just get forgotten about.
Once Welch went down, and then even the 14th minute Brandon Smith went down, like. Yeah, okay. You know, you've got two decent replaces in Nelson and also Harry Grant, but the way Brennan Smith's been playing this year, and again, Welch is, you know, a State of Origin representative. So we could see once Brandon was gone, at least we were either on the back foot or we were a bit disjointed, because I don't mind Harry Grant, but he's definitely, I suppose even like we're looking this year, he's definitely a step behind Brandon Smith this year. He didn't have a good game at all for the rest of this game. He didn't impact or anything, personally.
I mean, yeah, but like you said, I think most of this game, or especially, you know, in the first 45 to 50 minutes, apart from a few good chances that Melbourne had, that a lot of the time they were coming off their own line.
Right, that's true.
As I said, Penrith, the intensity of this game, especially Penrith defensively, was off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah, they were better defensively. They were. Well, even both teams as well. It's just that Penrith had slightly better offense and we had absolutely no offense. That was the difference.
And the thing was, too, that Melbourne had a majority of the possession as well. They just could not get any momentum inside Penrith's defensive half, and that really hurt. Like I said, only taking 62 minutes to score their first points, like that would have been a huge relief. And it's like, well, is this the momentum swing? And then it just that Penrith just wrestled it back.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. They got there sort of straight after halftime. They got that set of second try, and then all they had to do was hold. And then that's exactly what they did for that whole second half. Was just hold that lead. They were trying offensively, but at the end of the day, it just felt like they were just holding that lead because they knew they had it. I guess had Melbourne on the back foot offensively, Melbourne's offense. So
no, that's right. And so, that's the thing. The two quick strikes that they did have were in tries. You know, like second minute of the first half, second half, and the second half one where. Where To'o scored was off a Justin Olam mistake, and he's just been a fairly mistake-free footballer this year. And you know, an uncharacteristic mistake by him. To'o scores, you know what, a meter in from the left-hand touchline, and Nathan Cleary decides to be a little bit of a sniper and put the ball about 2 meters in from the inside hash. You know, numbers there, so that means it's probably about 8 meters in. And you know the funny thing about that is
he still missed.
It's just total karma. If he missed it to the right. So if he had have probably put the ball where the try was scored, that kick goes through the sticks.
Good point. Yeah.
It wasn't even close to being put in the spot where the try was scored. Not even close. I like going back to like the, you know, old school of when, you know, whether it's the kicking tee or whatever, when the kicking tee comes out, the referee is the one that places it on the ground, not the player.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, but I know what you mean.
No, I know that, but the referee has got to have a little bit of game awareness too and look and go, oh, hang on a minute, that try was scored there. You know what I bring this back to? You know what I bring this back to? 2015, the Kyle Fell try in the corner is 6 inch. It's 6 inches in. Thurston tries to take 6 inches to bring it in a little bit. And you watch the referee just as Thurston's got the ball on the kicking tee and everything, and he's getting into his routine. The referee goes over and goes, oh, no, hang on, Jonathan. Take that ball a little bit closer to the sideline. That's 6 inches. Ruined Ben Hunt's career. Because all Thurston has to, if he kicks that goal at the end of the game, then Ben Hunt doesn't have that drop in the start of Golden Point, does it?
No, true, but
but that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, the referee's got to have a bit of game awareness. He had the ultimate game awareness right there and said to JT, no, you need to move that. You need to move that kicking tee over just a little bit more. Like, what the hell was he doing here? It's 6 meters away from where it's supposed to be.
And he would have seen replays. Yeah, no, I agree. Or even the touchies. They should be pointing that out. You're right.
Yeah, it's just exactly. Like, what is that? No, hang on a minute, bud. No. Bring that back. Bring it back a little bit.
Unfortunately. See,
just cheeky BS like that. I don't like it.
Unfortunately for Melbourne, they didn't, irregardless, they didn't seem to capitalise because they got that late try with Pappenhausen in the 62nd minute, but that was it. Like, I can't work out. I think even Bellamy said it in the post-conference He can't work out what happened in that game. He just couldn't work out. He said, I don't know where we went wrong. I don't know where we went right. Like, it's just he did not ever expect that kind of game.
No, that's right. It's just one of those times where. Like you said, you know, the last of the big three is gone now. You know, Cameron Smith could have been that maybe that calming influence on, you know, on the field, but that now is on guys like Jerome Hughes and Cameron Munster and guys like that.
Hughes ran the ball.
Hughes was great.
He could see that they were on the back foot, so he had to run the ball. I think he got the most run meters in 199 meters. So
Hughes was great. Had a couple of line breaks. He attacked the line really well.
Well, so that puts Penrith then obviously in the grand final as well against South. Well, before we do studs and duds, you know, just because it's there, I'll just throw out a quick tip for you. Who do you think is going to win since we said the two games?
Personal feelings aside, I really hope these two teams just go out there and just bash the living crap out of each other. But, Is momentum now on Penrith's side with a win like that over Melbourne? But I still think South, as long as they don't commit suicide like Melbourne did with mistakes and things like that, I think South are able to put some points on. I think South can do it.
I think South can win. I'm surprised that they're outside favourites, to be honest.
$2.35, I think, last time I checked.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised with that, but hey, that's fine. Like, and they were 1-12, $3.40. Oh, that's a little bit juicy.
I think Penrith minus 3.5. So they're only thinking there's going to be a try in it.
Yeah, 3.5. It's not going to be a blowout. $3.40.
I wouldn't think so. I just don't know whether or not that game against Melbourne that Penrith played was their grand final. Do you know what I mean?
I'm going South.
Would have expended so much energy for them. South have had the extra day's rest as well, you know, being that played on the Friday night and the Penrith Manly game being played on the Saturday afternoon. So the physicality in that Melbourne Penrith game, I don't know what sort of toll that will take on Penrith. It looks like that Tevita Pengai Jr. will be out for this game. He got hurt on the Pappenhausen try. He got sort of, you know, in the mix with everything, and he had to get his knee strapped up. So I think he's very doubtful to play in this game. So that there is their sort of disruptor out the window if he doesn't play. So that could sort of hurt them. I think that Penrith might be a little bit too skinny on the bench.
I think so. It's going to be
a great game. It should be close, but I just think that this game, and it's always the case. I always think of it, in tennis terms, where, you know, a relatively unknown, and not to say that Penrith is an unknown, but, you know, a relatively unknown goes out there and beats, you know, Serena Williams, you know, in an early round of a major or something like that. And they've got all the momentum in the world, or, you know, they beat Djokovic or someone like that. And then the next round, they get bounced because they played the absolute game of their life the week before, the round before.
Yeah,
and then they get bounced in the next round. And I think this could happen to Penrith.
I'm looking at multis. I know exactly which multi I'm going to do. Just throwing that out there.
Alex Johnston, 2 tries.
Yeah, well, he's involved. Anytime try scorer for Alex Johnston, and South 1-12, and Cody Walker anytime's 19-25. That's not too bad.
Ooh, yeah, Cody's been in some decent try scoring form as of late, not just laying on tries. What did he have, like 39, 40 try assists this year?
Yeah, that's not bad. I might. Oh, the odds have just changed. Of course they did. The $17. Of course it went
down. You got to get in quick. Get that price boost up there.
Son of a bitch. Anyway, your start of the week out of these two games?
Man, we just talked about Cody Walker.
Yeah, I think it's too hard not to go past him, mate. He was brilliant in this game. He's deceptive. He you know,
took on the chief playmaker role for, you know, for 50, 55 minutes of this game before I guess Reynolds sort of took on some kicking duties and I guess was the closer, so to speak, as a baseball term, for this game. I thought that, yeah, that Cody Walker was your ace, your starter, and Reynolds has come in and closed the game off and just shut the books on Manly season. But yeah, Cody Walker was unbelievable in this game.
He was unbelievable in this game. Same. I mean, like, you know, he's deceptive. He'd be close to being, you would think. I think I could be wrong, but he's not the favorite. We thought he'd be close to being the favorite for Clive Churchill, but that honor goes to Nathan Cleary. So
no, well, that's right. It's it. Yeah, if the punters are all on Penrith, then it's the favorite for the Churchill will be Ivan Cleary. Oh, Ivan Cleary, Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, Ivan Cleary possibly.
Yeah, Ivan Cleary and his tactics.
Yeah, dud of the week.
Look, for me, Cameron Munster just picked the worst time, the worst game to have a stinker. I thought he was one of Melbourne's poorest on field, and you know, for a big time, big gun and big moment player, played in Origins, played in Tests, played in Grand Finals. You know, he's had that pressure cooker on, you know, on the whole time. He had a stinker.
I agree. He I don't know.
He just didn't fire.
There was a couple of plays where he, you know, he had the ball in his hand and he looked dangerous, and I think he broke a couple of lines, but generally, yeah, he didn't even really have the ball in his hands to kick as well. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the stuff that we're going to talk about later is all post game, so I don't know what was going on.
Maybe he already had that sitting in his room ready to go, and that's all he had on the brain.
Maybe his mind was somewhere else in this game, literally. So yeah,
literally. Just one of the bizarrest plays in that game, like involving Munster, was the uncharacteristic drop of the ball as he took the line on and. Just he poked his head through the line a little bit. This is in the second half, and the ball just comes loose. And basically on the next hit up by Penrith, he steals the ball back. Like on a one-on-one strip, and you're just like, oh my god! Like, you know, from downs to ups, and then you're like, you know, is this the point now that he starts to get, you know, a little bit of confidence and momentum back? And it just didn't happen.
It felt like it. I mean, it felt like he was, I don't know if he wanted to be there. I don't know. It was probably a whole all round Melbourne. But you base it on your halves too. And he probably is their Cameron Smith. He is their Cooper Cronk. That's got it. That's him now. He's getting the money for it. So that's him now. Right. So. Unfortunately, they'll be out. All Sydney Grand Final being played in Brisbane. So that's, you know,
an all Sydney Grand Final for the first time since 2014.
So yeah.
Funnily enough, South were in that Grand Final as well.
Oh yeah, they were too. Interesting. We'll move on to we've already sort of said at the start, like. The Dally M where they named their team of the year, and obviously the Dally M award. I mean, the worst kept secret was, you know, Mr. Man Mountain Tom Dvojevic getting the Dally M. I mean, we've said his name. I swear we've said his name at least 50 times during this
podcast.
What did he play?
How many games did he play? He played like 15?
15.
He was on pace. Like, if he played a whole season, he was on pace to score like 52 points or something like that. Just something just out of this world. If they were taking like his average Dally M points over those 15 games, yeah, he was on pace to score 52 points, and it was obviously going to be such an easy runaway Dally M winner. And like you said, just the worst kept secret that was going around.
They also named their Dalian Team of the Year, but I didn't look at. I had a team down before they named their Team of the Year, so
I had a team down as the final started. So,
yeah. Okay, well, we'll go through it. I mean, fullback of the year is pretty straightforward. We can go straight past that one. I don't think you had anyone different, surely.
Oh, jeez. I don't know.
Isn't it interesting when they named the finals? Of course, the fullback had like four or five finalists. Everybody else
had. Yeah, of course. They're kidding themselves. It was Trbojevic and the rest.
But what I'm getting at is
they had Kalen Ponga and all the guys like that, and there's just like, man, not
Pappenhausen,
Tedesco.
The fullback position is so red hot at the moment. It's ridiculous. I'd say over the halfback now. It's slowly getting way over the halfback, to be honest.
It's close.
But your one winger of the year.
Winger of the year for me is Ruben Garrick.
Yeah, he really had a breakout season. So did Brian Toto, and I nearly gave it to him because he was fairly consistent all year. I mean, he did get injured in a part, so that sort of pulled it away from me a little bit. But Ruben Garrick just was overly consistent. I don't think he had a game off. He was consistent kicking the ball. Never give up. No more so than that try against the Cowboys right at the end.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Totally
demoralizing. Thanks a lot.
Did you see that it also screwed some guy's multi as well, who thought they had the multi in the bag when Manly sort of kicked it? A guy was video recording. He had $6,000 lined up. He had the multi one. He had the multi one because of the score on the line and everything. And Manly kicked the ball, and he thought the Cowboys picked up and then were going to let it run. Manly were going to let it run dead, and it would have won him the game or won him his $6,000. No. He's decided to...
Oh, that's brutal.
It's so funny. It got all the way to Daily Mail. It's absolutely brutal.
Oh, that's brutal.
He was just like... He was so happy everyone's giving high fives, and then they seen him run around, and his whole face just changed.
The colour just would have dropped out of him. He would have been like, oh, no. He would have been doing what I was doing at the stadium and screaming, effing tackle him. Effing tackle him. Just kill this game, tackle him, and nobody could get anybody down. It's like, oh, for God's sakes.
Center of the year.
For me, it was Justin Ollum.
Yeah, he was the game's best center this year. You know, for a guy last year that I wanted to get rid of because he just kept dropping the ball every time. And remember that game that we went to where in Melbourne where, like, he played the ball the wrong way? Like... I thought, like, this guy's got no idea, and he's completely changed it. I will give a mention, but to Matt Burton, you know, the 21-year-old.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just to fix it, he was brilliant this year as well.
But he didn't play the whole year at centre.
No. So, Justin was clear winner for me. 5-8 of the year. I don't think there's not many unsurprising years, but go ahead.
No, I think this one's pretty easy in Cody Walker.
Yep, simple, easy, Cody Walker. Halfback of the year.
I think this one's fairly straightforward as well. And Nathan Cleary.
Yep, same. Keep going. Prop of the year.
Prop of the year. I'm not sure what you had here, but, other Payne Haas.
I had Payne Haas as well.
You're doing well.
He is Brisbane. Like, that's it, isn't it? He was
It was close between, you know, him and Daniel Saifidi from Newcastle. I thought he had an absolute stellar year as well. He just seems to be getting better and better as each year goes on. I also thought that Jared Rea-Hargraves sort of noted a mention as well, because some of the stuff that he did throughout the middle of that year, playing big minutes. When Roosters are going through just, you know, the injury crisis of all the injury crises that they've had for the longest time.
And
he was a real leader.
He did change. He was then getting 10, 20 minutes at the start of the year, and then he had to step up, and he really did. So you are right. Hooker of the year.
I thought Damien Cook, I think, sort of had a better year. Like last year, I didn't really think that he had a Damian Cook type year. You know, with the six again ruling that they come in last year, I didn't think he took advantage of it as much as what a lot of people thought he would. You know, probably being the fastest dummy half in the game, and being one of those hookers that sort of sniffs around and tries to catch the markers off and getting those ruck infringements. I thought this year he was a lot better at that.
I had to go Brandon Smith because of just how he went from possibly not even being in this side to being the starting dummy half and shining, and now will be their number nine. Just was
well,
that
all the talk was at the start of the year when Harry Grant come back from the West Tigers. Moving. It's like, what do they do here? What do they do here? They've got Finucane at lock. That, you know, Harry Grant, is he going to come back and take the dummy half role? Is it going to be Brandon Smith? Like, what's going to be the dynamic here? And yeah, Brandon Smith was terrific by all means.
I'll be surprised even if Brandon Smith, he could be wrong, but I mean, he hasn't been signed for next year. And obviously, Finucane's signed for the year after. Finucane's gone. I could see.
That's such an easy transition for him to just move to lock.
But I could see, you know, but he was good at dummy half. I'm wondering if Harry Grant could move to lock. What if Harry Grant could move to lock at the start of the year? Who knows?
I don't think I like it, but. Nah, I don't think he's got that in. Brandon Smith's got that. Got that little bit of hard edge about him that I think he would do a much better job at lock.
Second rower of the year.
Second rower and buy of the year, Isaiah Papali'i.
Eels got him on a cut price deal of 150 grand, and just he's going to get a lot more money than that now.
He definitely paid for himself.
He was brilliant. And lock of the year.
I think Isaiah Yeo from Penrith, I thought was probably the most consistent. You could have given it to Dale Finucane, but I thought Yeo had an outstanding year.
Yeah, no, I agree. Same, yeah. So we only had really what one different, I think, did we? In the end of that, the hooker. So
yeah, and coach of the year for you.
Well. It's coach every year to
me. That's right. It's great. That's what I mean. And that's the thing. If they give it to anybody else, then they're kidding themselves. It's Craig Bellamy.
And rookie of the year for you.
In lieu of the events over the past weekend with one Reece Walsh, I did have him down, but I think he's been taken out of that mix now, has he not? So
he has.
It's him or Sam Walker.
Okay, so what I'm saying is taking that out of the equation, because you know he probably will be rubbed out. Yeah, like, do you give it to him or do you give it to Sam Walker?
No, it's Reece Walsh.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, irregardless of what happened, he still was the rookie of the year. To, you know, in my eyes. Yeah. So, finally, we may as well move on to that. So obviously, going from our starting song and what we just sort of mentioned, he decided to have a little bit of trouble, so to speak. Or he was, you know, it wasn't even for the cocaine. I think it was just he was out of the Gold Coast. He got kicked out of somewhere, but decided to go back and then was questioned. So he went back to the watch house. Unfortunately, clearly didn't realize he had something in his pocket, a little bag.
He wouldn't leave, so they asked him to leave. He did leave, and then 45 minutes he came back. They recognized him again, and he tried to get back into this Surfers Paradise night establishment. And they've just, and was clearly making a total maroon of himself. And they just thought, righto, mate, it's time for a little bit of a cooling off period in the local watch house. They searched him. And we find ourselves a nice little single portion of cocaine, shall we say.
Look, yep. I mean, you know, I mean, it's – I don't think they knew who he was. And that doesn't make a difference at the end of the day, who he was. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm getting
at is – not so much that they recognized that it was Reece Walsh. They just would have recognized that, hey, here comes this mutant again trying to get back in here.
Exactly.
Bye-bye.
But you, as a player, and he's – look, can only go off what you can see. I mean, they had the post conference, they had a press conference about it with the CEO and the coach, and you know,
he got on the front foot.
He did, and he looked genuinely remorseful and everything like that. But my thing is, at the end of the day, yeah, I'm not. Some people can do what they want. I'm not saying that, but what I'm getting at is, you're unfortunately in that public eye, so you've got to be absolutely aware of what you're doing in the public eye.
Why you got to take it with you? That's the other thing. Do whatever in the blue hell you want in your room, that's in your house. At somebody else's house. So then why have you got to have it with you?
Yeah, and that's not, and we're not advocating anything. People can do whatever they want. It's got nothing to do with us at all. But what we're saying is you're in that public eye. If you want to do something stupid like that, go ahead. But you're in the public eye.
Eat the consequences when you get busted.
That's exactly right.
Simple.
Unfortunately, then it's also, for some reason, during this whole year, it seems if it happens to one person, it seems to happen to everybody else in terms of this whole COVID year where, like, the COVID party, and then there was another issue with sort of COVID-related issues. But same as this, like, Reece Walsh was busted, yes. Unfortunately, then, for Melbourne,
Not even 24 hours later.
Melbourne players are busted, there was one sort of slightly unknown, and unfortunately there was two big ones in there, Brandon Smith and Cameron Munster. So
who's filming it? Who's filming it? B, how the hell does this get out there?
Oh, it's easy to get out there.
That's not a friend. You could be coked out of your mind. You're seeing somebody with a phone. Why have you got to put the freaking phone down? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't get it either. But, again, this is...
Well, it's good to film it and everything. How does it get out there?
It could have been... It depends where it was put and everything like that. It could have been sending to friends online or anything like that. And then, obviously, then the trail goes from there. Who knows? But it's... ridiculous. I think it's what's worse is, and it all hasn't. I think it all hasn't officially come out, but they're the same instances. They can't. And I think I've messaged you about this. You can't distinguish one fine from the other. They all have to have the same blanket fine and the same.
No,
blanket
that's right.
Whistle.
And regardless of who the player has been hit with something different as well. I think another player that's been brought into it is Chris Lewis, as well. So. But all the fines are all different. Like they looks like they're going to be spending a couple of weeks on the sideline next year.
But what I'm saying is
Munster's the one that's going to get hit with the biggest fine, though, isn't he?
$50,000, and then Reece Walsh, who's, I don't know if you're going off name alone or what it is, but then Reece Walsh only got five. So did Chris Lewis.
Yeah.
And
Brandon Smith,
35.
Oof.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, how do you distinguish that? They all did the same thing. Just you can't go off public eye. That's absolutely ridiculous. And they all should get the same weeks, which I think they will. I think they all will get the first two or three. Yeah. It'll probably end up getting suspended. Who knows? But I don't get that. I don't get how you can distinguish one from the other, regardless of the public perception of who that person is. It should have nothing to do with it. You all do the same thing. Chris Lewis should get the same fine as Munster, or vice versa.
I mean, look, if we all follow the life philosophies of Mr. Mackey and drugs are bad, then you know what I mean? Like at least, nobody's condoning any of the actions of this, but do it at home.
Yeah, do what you want. If you want to do
if you've got it on you or whatever like that, then you've just got to eat the consequences. That's life.
Yeah, that's right. That is life. That's just the way it is. That's it. So, unfortunately, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. We'll just finish up with one more thing.
Just as we head into grand final week. I just want to give a little shout out to Dwayne, who runs Top End Rugby League Cards. He's given us the platform to be able to post our NRL links on the Facebook page there, and that's always super appreciated. And I've jumped in the grand final day break this year, So yeah, that should be fun. Unfortunately, I'll have to be watching the replay of it. I've got to work on that night. So, but yeah, just wanted to give a shout out to Dwayne, who does a stellar job running Top End Rugby League Cards. He puts a lot of hard work and dedication into doing that for everybody. So thanks for that, mate. Yeah, and good luck to everybody who's in the grand final break this year. It should be loads of fun. I ended up scoring the Parramatta Eels, but traded them for the Titans. So I've actually got something to sort of, just for a bit of a collection of stuff. So, but it's a pretty massive break, and it's been just, yeah, it's always, he does it every year. I always get my box of traders off him every year, so I can get myself a full set for each rugby league year. So, but yeah, thanks a bunch, Dwayne, and good luck to everybody in the Top End Rugby League grand final break.
Well, at least you got someone you wanted, like that.
No, that's right. That's what I tried to.
And Parramatta is kind of easy to get rid of because there's a lot of Parramatta fans out there too.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That worked out well for you.
Parlayed that into the Gold Coast. So. Not too bad. Some people might think you're a little bit fruity for doing that, but that's just my personal preference. So obviously we would like to have got the Cowboys or Newcastle as well, but to pick up a team that at least I support was pretty happy with.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, after that, that'll do it for our second to last, or at least for the season, our second to last pod for the NRL. We'll probably do some reviews sort of down the track a little bit later as well, some team reviews and post reviews, so to speak.
Yeah, post grand final review and we've still got loads of stuff left. It's like a season review for each team as well, for all 16 teams. So that should be fun. So not all NRL is extinguished at the moment, but just about.
And then we'll move straight into NFL, and then NBA will start soon.
The NBA is coming ever, ever, ever closer.
So keep an eye out for all our pods. Give us a like on Spotify, everything.
Yeah, Spotify. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook. On Twitter, we're at Final Play Pod. Check us out on Facebook. That's where you'll check us out. All the links through SoundCloud and through Spotify are on the Facebook page and also on Twitter. So. Check us out, give us a like, and give us some support.
Well, have a good week, everyone. My name is Jason K. Smith, after Mr. Mackey.
Miles Drugs and okay. Burn Coins Plum. So just stay off the coke, boys and girls. Coca-Cola instead. Coke comes in a can, not in a little baggie.
No, well, again, if people want to do stuff, that's your life. Go ahead. But realize you're in that public eye. That's the biggest thing. You're in that public eye. So, and you're now going to be more
scrutinized.
You're going to be more scrutinized now.
No, that's right. You're going to have a lot of eyeballs on you, and have a look what that did for Ben Barber a few years ago after he sort of got pinged for that after the 2016 grand final that Cronulla won. He went to the Super League and he was terrific. Good God, he was good over there.
Yeah.
And then he come back to Australia and just couldn't get any mother. The Cowboys picked him up. I was super excited for that. He had an Australia Day incident with his significant other and the Townsville Casino. And everything sort of went south from there, and he's gone now. He's in Mackay, right?
Yeah, he is playing 15 different sports here, and then dominating everyone.
He's just that damn good.
He's just that damn good. I was just saying before we finish, yeah, Reece Walsh was here halfway through the year for that Warriors game, and he was out at one of the bars, so to speak, but. I don't think anybody cared about him or like it was looking for anything or got, you know, he was on his best behavior by the looks of it. So that always helps.
Yeah. Well, that's right. You know, you wait until the end of season before you become a complete mutant.
All right. Have a good week, everyone.
Enjoy grand final week, everybody. Should be good. I know we don't have a horse in the race, both of